Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Girlfriend's Guide to Sports podcast. My name is Claire Coles, and this is your weekly update. It's Monday, April 8th. Let's start with what you missed over the last week. Then we'll move on to what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. Okay, I wanted to get this out early today as the national championship for the March Madness tournament ends tonight. So make sure I wanted to get the podcast out. But as always, we're going to start with some MLB baseball. The Astros get their first win of the season, and it is a no-hitter by Ronel Blanco. He threw 105 pitches, and you could tell he was getting tired, literally just looking gassed. He made the Houston team on the last day of spring training, with the Astros having 4 starting pitchers injured, and this was only his 8th major league start, and yet he gets the franchise's 17th no-hitter. It is also the first no-hitter of the season and the earliest in the season ever in MLB history. It did happen like right off the bat, but still super impressive. The Astros would also shut out the Blue Jays on Wednesday as well, 8-0. Blanco would actually pitch again last night. He went 14.2 innings, 44 outs without giving up his first hit. In similar fashion, Angels pitcher Anderson went 7 scoreless innings in their win over the Marlins. The Marlins were 0-6 at that point. Then Phillies star Bryce Harper got 3 home runs in their game on Tuesday. They scored 9 runs to beat the Reds. The D-backs destroyed the Yankees 7-0 to hand them their first loss of the season. Mookie Betts hit his 5th home run in the Dodgers' win over the Giants, which leads the MLB for now. He leads in batting average, home runs, hits, runs batted in, runs, and walks. The Red Sox-A's game went into extra innings, where the Boston team only won by 1 run despite having 12 hits. The A's lost their next game to the Red Sox, but they drew in 45,000 people crowds over their first 7 home games, despite going 1-6, and they led the American League in a 29-run differential. In other words, they lost by 29 runs, but still got huge crowds, as obviously they are moving, and I'll get to that actually later as well. The Yankees got revenge on Wednesday, beating the Diamondbacks in 11 innings, and Aaron Judge got his first home run of the season. Nationals first baseman Joey Gallo was 0-12 before Wednesday's game against the Pirates. Then he got 3 hits, including a home run. That lifted the Washington team to a win 5-3. Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani got his first home run as a Dodger on Wednesday. The LA team beat the Giants by 1. It is literally, he got his first home run as a Dodger exactly on the same day as he got his first run for the Angels as well. So kind of crazy on that coincidence there. The Tigers-Mets game was postponed earlier in the week and is now a doubleheader. The first game went into extra innings, 11 of them. So imagine that being your first game of a two-game day. The Tigers win that one by 3. The Mets won game 2 that day, though, by 1. And that is the Mets' first win of the season and the last. And the Tigers were the last team to be undefeated. Something about the 7th inning also on Thursday. The Cardinals scored 5 runs in their 7th inning against the Marlins. Then the Royals crushed their 7th inning with 8 runs to win over the Red Sox. Friday was a day of walk-offs. The Rockies hit a walk-off grand slam in the 9th to win 10-7. The Braves had a walk-off single to beat the Diamondbacks in the 10th. And then the Brewers had a walk-off walk with bases loaded in the 9th to beat the Mariners. Saturday, we continued some of the walk-offs. The Pirates and the Orioles game went into extra innings before Cruz walked it off in the 11th inning. The Pirates got the W despite having an error, but they did have 11 hits versus the other team's 4. They would win another walk-off win on Sunday, and then the Braves came back big from a 6-run deficit by putting up 2 and another 2 in the 7th and 8th innings to win over the Diamondbacks by 1. So the Diamondbacks started off real hot and then just not after that. The Rays put up 5 in the 8th inning over the Rockies to win 8-6. And then Sunday, good Lord, I cannot get my day straight this time. Sunday was the days of homers. 24 home runs were hit on that day alone. The Red Sox and the Brewers both put up 12 runs against their opponents, including some home runs there. The Astros finally got a W over their Texas rival after the Rangers had every batter get a hit against the Houston team both nights that they played before that. The Astros get the win last night, 3-1. Also, I said I would get to the A's news. The A's are going to play out of West Sacramento for the 2025 through 2027 seasons before they officially move to Las Vegas in 2028. And officially, we have no winless teams and no undefeated teams left in the MLB. Little bit of softball news for you. It was the Red River rivalry, but on the softball diamond. Number 1, Oklahoma versus number 2, Texas. Oklahoma took game 1, 5-2, but the Longhorns fought back, winning the next 2 games, 1-2. One of those games ended on a controversial obstruction call that was actually rolled back this season. What happened was basically UT was defending and OU was hitting. The catcher went over the baseline to catch an errant throw. Literally, like, the throw was kind of weird and wonky, and she went to catch it, and literally it couldn't have been timed more perfectly if the fielder actually tried, but literally came down and tagged the OU runner. This last season was called obstruction because you can't sit on the baseline. However, they really rolled that back for this season, as there were a bunch of, if you're trying to catch the ball, like, what else are you supposed to do? So ultimately the call was correct from what I've heard, but it would have tied the game for the Sooners. So that's why it's super controversial. And that actually ended Oklahoma's 40-game Big 12 win streak. Also, in the NBA this week, the Celtics are putting an exclamation point on their season, winning their 14th game in the last 16. They have won their 60th of the season. They won that on Wednesday by destroying the Thunder by 35. The Hawks have won 8 of their last 10 as well, including 2 W's against the Celtics. Then they lost both Saturday and Sunday, so whoops. But they did secure a playoff berth for themselves. On the flip side of that, though, the Knicks have majorly cooled off. They were on a hot streak, and now they've lost 4 of their last 6. Also, the Bucks seem to be also heading that direction as well, but I'll get to that in a minute. The Suns came out swinging this week with a strong first quarter in Monday's game, putting up 46 points. They held on to beat the Pelicans 124-111, and Devin Booker was responsible for 52 of those points alone. The Bucks lost their game by 4 on Tuesday in a close one to the Wizards, even with Giannis putting up 35. The 76ers also upset the Thunder by 4 with the return of Embiid, so 76ers fans are super pumped to see him back. The Spurs almost had the Nuggets, but fell just 5 points short. Wemby tried his best with a near quadruple double, but Jokic put up 42 points and stopped that. The Mavs-Warriors game was rescheduled from January 19th and was played on Tuesday at Golden State. It was a very even game with only 1 point separating the two each quarter until the third, when the Warriors got a little bit of room and they kept it despite Luka's triple-double. On Wednesday, the Nets upset the Pacers by 4 after a slow start, 19 points in the first quarter to be exact, but they bounced back nicely in the second, putting up 42. The Grizzlies also upset the Bucks by 10. Suns' Devin Booker put up 40 in the Suns' win over the Cavaliers. He's having a good week. I told you the Knicks are not doing well. Well, they won on Thursday against the Kings to stop their three-game losing streak. Golden State won their sixth game in a row, this one against the Rockets by 23, and that is crucial for them to stay in the playoff hunt, as they are literally competing against the Rockets to do that. The Clippers upset the Nuggets as Jokic missed a game-winning three-pointer. And then the Thunder are not having a good week as they lose another one after the embarrassing loss to the Celtics. Their game on Friday, the Pacers beat them by 14. The Bulls-Knicks game got nasty on Thursday. Josh Hart kicked Javonte Green in the head. Needless to say, he was ejected for that. Green, before that, threw down a dunk that was so intense that another Bulls player got a technical on the sidelines. So wondering if that had something to do with it. The Raptors played well in the middle two quarters to upset the Bucks by 6. Like I said, not playing well for Milwaukee. Wemby didn't put up as many points as he usually does with only 17, but the Spurs beat the Pelicans in a close one. And speaking of a close one, the Mavs got revenge on their makeup game loss to the Warriors by beating them on Friday. The Suns upset the Timberwolves in a low-scoring affair. Neither team scored 100 points in that game. Then we move on to the weekend. The Grizzlies retired Mark Gasol's number 33 jersey on Saturday, but they lost that game to an Embiid-led 76ers team by 20. Celtics player Jaylen Brown got the 10,000 career point milestone during their win against the Trailblazers on Sunday. They won 124-107. And like I said at the beginning of the post, Knicks not doing well, but they managed to get the upset over the Bucks and in solid fashion. Brunson put up 43 points and they win 122-109. Two games last night went into overtime. The Spurs played well against the 76ers, including outscoring Philly by 17 in the second quarter alone. But the 76ers came back from a 7-point deficit starting the fourth quarter to taking a 1-point lead in the final 10 seconds. Both teams ended overtime by scoring 10 points apiece. However, the 76ers had the lead or the tie in all but 45 seconds of double overtime. So the 76ers escape. The second game to go into OT was the Mavericks-Rockets matchup. Again, Dallas and Houston hate each other, so these games always mean a lot when it is the two Texas teams. The game was very back and forth. All quarters flip-flopped who put up the most points. The Rockets put up 42, then Dallas put up 39, Houston put up 35, and then Dallas put up 31 in the fourth. But it was all Mavericks in overtime. 18 points against the Rockets, 7. Yikes. And then the highest score of the week was 52 at earlier in the week, which was Devin Booker, as well as point guard for the Pistons, Malachi Flynn, put up 50. Even more impressive, and why I wanted to note his, was that he was not a starter. So he actually came off the bench to put that in. Detroit still did lose that game but still kind of cool there. And then counting extra time, like double overtime, helps a lot when you're trying to put up a lot of points. Tyrese Maxey of the 76ers is also the highest scorer, tying Booker at 52 during their game on Sunday. And then playoffs, anyone, as standings, with Sunday being the final day of the season in the East, the Celtics are in and have clinched the conference. We knew that already. The Bucks have now clinched a playoff berth. The Heat and the Hawks have secured their play-in berth at least. And the other eliminated team that we updated this week is the Nets in the East. In the West, it obviously is always still been a much tighter race. The Timberwolves are now tied with the Rockets at the top of the conference, with all three, the Thunder being the other one of that, securing playoff spots. Eliminated, also being added this week, are the Rockets. So like I said, the Rockets versus Golden State this week was big time for playoff implications. A tiny bit of NCAA March Madness news on the men's side, as the final four games were played this weekend. Game one went as expected, or at least for me. Number 11 NC State's Cinderella run came to an end by the number one Boilermakers, who beat them in both halves by 6 in the first and 7 in the second. Purdue beat the Pack by 13 ultimately. And then game two was closer. Well, for a half. Number one UConn was up by four at half on number four Alabama, but then it got ugly in the second half. UConn beat the Tide by 10 in that half alone and 14 total. So there is your final. It will be number one Purdue versus number one UConn tonight. Also, big news this week, just some quick highlights. Kentucky head coach John Calipari has announced that he will now become the new head coach for Arkansas. So kind of crazy that he's leaving a blue blood basketball school for kind of a mid-tier, according to some analysts. Also, Bronny James has declared for the draft. So get ready for a James versus James matchup that have been years in the making. And I guess that also puts LeBron on retirement watch, as he said he wanted to play against his son at least once before retiring. Moving along to women's basketball, the Final Four was also done on the women's side. Number one, South Carolina continued to do what they do best. Win. They're number one and undefeated for a reason. Number three, NC State, didn't help themselves when they only scored 6 points in the third quarter. Yikes. But the Gamecocks win that game by 18. So kind of not good losses for either NC State team. The second game was much closer and a much better game. It was awesome. Number three, UConn, Paige Beckers, and number one, Iowa, and Caitlin Clark. It was just awesome. UConn was up by 6 at half, but the Hawkeyes had a big third quarter, putting up 25 and outscoring the Huskies by 6, so making up that difference completely. Iowa then brought it home to win by 2. Literally one of the last plays was Iowa putting the ball in, hitting it off a UConn player to knock some time off the clock. And they were not super happy with that, but he handled it very classily. But it was kind of a weird ending to the game. Clark put up 21 points and the leading scorer for Iowa, while both Paige and Aliyah Edwards for UConn put up 17 apiece. So nice to see Paige Beckers there in her game. So it is now number one Iowa versus number one South Carolina in the national championship, and that went on last night. Iowa came out hot, going up 11 in the first quarter, but South Carolina came back big in the second, putting up 29. Iowa was actually up still by 1 point with 53 seconds left in the half, but South Carolina hit a beautiful three-pointer and then got a steal to a layup, causing a big momentum shift going into the locker room, and it just got worse for Iowa, letting the Gamecocks go up by even more after the third. They continued to pile on in the fourth, and every time Iowa looked to be making a comeback, South Carolina would go back and score again and just continue to keep them at arm's length. South Carolina wins and becomes the 10th undefeated team to win the national championship and the first since 2016. Also kind of crazy here is that Angel Reese has declared for the draft. That's not crazy, but Shaq said publicly that she is the best athlete to come out of LSU, man or woman. And if you don't know the history there, that includes himself. So kind of a cool statement there as well. There are a lot of great name-worthy players from this year's Women's March Madness going into the WNBA draft. So we'll have to catch on that. Little bit of football news this week. Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice was driving a Lamborghini and speeding along Dallas's I-75 when he crashed into another car that was also speeding and caused a 6-car pileup. Then everyone walked away from that scene. And by don't mean by the fact that they were not injured, but I actually mean that the people that were in the cars that were racing each other got up and left the scene. So that is not good for them. Rice is familiar with the area as he went to SMU and played ball for the Mustangs during undergrad. So TBD on what is going to happen there. Huge trade news this week. The Houston Texans got wide receiver Stephon Diggs from the Bills on Wednesday in exchange for a second round pick in next year's draft. Houston also got two later round picks in this and next year's draft. This trade didn't make a ton of sense to me, so it ought to be pretty interesting who the Bills are targeting within the next year with an additional pick. But before it seemed too good to be true, the Texans were required to wipe out the remaining 3 years on Diggs' contract, meaning that he will become a free agent after next season. So I'm sure that had something to do with it. Also, spring games are starting this week. Ohio State, Clemson, Auburn, and NC State so far. In the world of golf, starting with the PGA Tour, Akshay Bhatia is going to the Masters. He took his first big win on the PGA Tour. I say big win at the Valero Texas Open. Technically, he won on the PGA Tour at the Barracuda Championship last year, but seeing as that was the same week as the British Open, it does not get you into a major championship, unlike this win. Bhatia was leading after the third round by 5 strokes, but Denny McCarthy came back in a big way on the final stretch. McCarthy sunk 6 straight birdies to tie for the lead and go into a playoff. But that is where McCarthy's luck ends, as his second shot went into the water and essentially giving Bhatia the win. Good thing too, because Bhatia sunk his final birdie in the going into the playoff hole, so on hole 18 in regulation. His emphatic fist bump actually like popped his shoulder. I'm not sure if it was completely out of socket, but he literally was calling his trainer on the playoff hole being like, get here, I need some help. So he, I know, was like, let's make this a one and done thing. And McCarthy obviously hit it in the water. So nice there. Also noteworthy in the Valero was that Jordan Spieth got his 4th ace on the PGA Tour this week as well. The LIV Tour was also back in action this week in Miami. Legion 13 won their 2nd team championship in just 5 starts. But the big winner was Dean Burmeister. Dean won his first LIV event this weekend over another more well-known LIV winless golfer, Sergio Garcia. After 3 rounds, the two were tied and went into playoff holes. Both got a par on the first time around, but then Sergio got a bogey on the 2nd hole, and that was enough for Burmeister to step through the door. And it is Masters week, people, so get super excited and wear your green. There was actually some pretty big hockey news this week, so I wanted to give it its own category. So not the NHL, but the Women's Hockey World Championships are going on right now. The United States destroyed Czechia 6-0, or the Czech Republic, but that was not what was noteworthy. Layla Edwards became the first Black woman to score a goal for the U.S. hockey team, with 2 of them actually in that win. And then Canada also got their 100th win in World Championship history with their win over Finland 4-1 on Thursday. The United States and Canada are in the same group, so they will meet up before finals in group play, and then finals will begin on the 14th. But in the NHL, the Devils-Rangers game made national headlines when 2 seconds after the puck dropped, every single player was fighting, and 8 players got ejected. Those 2 teams are notably hate each other and have a history of big fights between them, especially with rookie Rempe in there. The Rangers ended up winning that game 4-3, so kind of crazy. Moving along to Olympic sports, Mikaela Shiffrin is in the news for a different reason than winning on the slopes. She's also winning in life, too, as Shiffrin and Alexander Kilde got engaged this past week. The 31-year-old Norwegian skiing star is a World Cup champion and 2-time Olympic medalist in his own right. So talk about a true skiing power couple by all means. Also, Russ Cook, who is a British ultra runner, ran the entire length of Africa in 352 days. He took off on April 22nd, 2023, faced health scares, dehydration, sandstorms, just all kinds of just crazy problems, and armed robbery at one point. He raised $872,000 for charity after running 10,190 miles. So absolutely crazy. No one had completed this before this, and so absolutely awesome for him, at least to this mileage. Also, NCAA Gymnastics Regionals were this week for the women. 16 teams went into the final 2 days and 8 teams came out. Oklahoma, Alabama, LSU, and Arkansas won day one, and day two was Florida, Utah, Cal, and Stanford. Florida was only 0.075 points behind the reigning national champs, Oklahoma, who have just been dominating this season. So Cal, LSU, Florida, and Oklahoma were all in the 198-point range. Kentucky was first out by 0.1 points. That is what happened over the last week. Now let's move up to what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. Some MLB on TV this week. There's only 3 games on regular scheduled programming. Tuesday, catch the Cubs at the Padres at 9:05 on TBS, followed by Saturday, the Rangers at the Astros. We go back to that matchup. Again, Dallas, Houston hate each other at 3:05 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. Sunday, catch the Padres at the Dodgers at 6 on ESPN. In the world of NCAA baseball and softball, we've got a couple of ranked teams, ranked versus ranked matchups this week starting today. Number 7, LSU versus 10, Florida in softball at 6 on SEC Network. 2 softball games ranked versus ranked on Tuesday. 3 Georgia versus 4 Tennessee in a huge top 5 matchup. They will play at 4 on ESPNU. And then number 17 Clemson versus 25 South Carolina at 6 on ESPNU that same day. Baseball rounds out the night also at 6 o'clock on ESPN2 with 6 Florida State versus 14 Florida, or 6 Florida versus 14 Florida State. We have no games in action on Wednesday. And then ranked first ranked, we go back to Friday with 2 softball matchups, 19 Arkansas versus 25 South Carolina. They will play at 5 on SEC Network. So South Carolina's got a hard week for softball. Then number 2, Duke versus 17 Clemson. Again, their second ranked team of the week. So both Clemson and South Carolina, tough weeks. They play at 6 on ESPN2. Baseball, 18 LSU versus 4 Tennessee at 7 on ESPNU. Then get ready for a crazy day on Saturday. There are 5 ranked matchups in the softball world. 19 Arkansas versus 25 South Carolina at 10:30 a.m. on SEC Network, followed by 14 Texas A&M versus 15 Alabama at 11:30 a.m. on ESPN2. 10 Florida takes on 11 Mizzou at 12:30 on SEC. 21 Baylor takes on 5 Texas at 1:30 on ESPN2. And wrapping it up, number 4 Tennessee versus 16 Mississippi State at 2:30 on SEC Network. Then we have 3 baseball ranked first ranked matchups. 18 LSU versus 4 Tennessee at 4:30 on SEC. 19 NC State versus 2 Clemson at 7 on ACC. And then 7 Vandy versus 3 Texas A&M at a Big Ten in a big top 10 matchup at 7:30 on SEC Network. We flip it and we start with ranked versus ranked matchups in baseball on Sunday. 22 South Carolina versus 6 Florida at 11 a.m. on SEC. And then 18 LSU versus 4 Tennessee at 2 on SEC as well. Then we have 2 softball matchups, 14 Texas A&M versus 15 Alabama in their second game in that series at 3:30 on ESPN2, and 5 Duke versus 17 Clemson at 5 on ACC. So lots going on in a baseball and softball world. Absolutely awesome. Great TV to watch this week. NBA wraps up this week. The final games will be on Sunday, but only games on TV is Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So Tuesday, the Celtics at the Bucks. Bucks have been on a losing streak at 6:30 on TNT, followed by the Warriors at the Lakers at 9. On Wednesday, the Mavericks take on the Heat at 6:30 on ESPN, followed by the Timberwolves at the Nuggets at 9. On Thursday, the Knicks take on the Celtics at 6:30 on TNT, followed by the Pelicans at the Kings at 9. Tonight, March Madness completion. National championship is tonight. Number 1 Purdue versus number 1 and reigning defending champs UConn at 8:20 tonight. And then on Saturday, you can actually catch high school all-star game, the women's at 6:30 on Fox Sports 1 and the men's at 9. The UFL back in action on Saturday, DC Defenders at the Arlington Renegades at 12 on ESPN, followed by the Memphis Showboats at Birmingham Stallions at 6 on Fox. On Sunday, the Houston Roughnecks play the Michigan Panthers at 11 on ABC, followed by St. Louis Battlehawks versus the San Antonio Brahmas at 2 on ABC. And the Ohio State Spring Game will be on Saturday at 11 a.m. on Fox as well. Like I said, it is the Masters this week, so plenty of Masters on TV. Wednesday is the par 3 contest at 2. That will be on ESPN. Thursday, start round 1 will be on ESPN at 2 o'clock. You can catch everything on Masters.com and ESPN Plus all week long, like literally starting at 7 a.m. Round 1 will be at ESPN, though, at 2, and then highlights on CBS at 10:35. Friday, same with round 2 at 2 on ESPN and highlights at 10:35. Then on Saturday, Masters third round will be at 2 on CBS. And on Sunday, the final round, we will give out the green jacket. That will be at 1 p.m. on CBS. As the NHL season heats up, we've got hockey going on. Tuesday, the Capitals at the Red Wings at 6 on ESPN. The Wild at the Avalanche at 8:30 on ESPN as well. Wednesday, the Golden Knights take on the Oilers at 7:30 on TNT. And then Thursday, we actually have semifinals in the NCAA Frozen Four for men's hockey as well. Denver versus BU at 4 on ESPN2. And then Boston College versus Michigan at 7:30, also on ESPN2. The final will be on Saturday. The national championship will be at 5 o'clock on ESPN. The NHL also in action on Saturday, the Islanders at the Rangers at 11:30, then the Kraken at the Stars at 2, and the Bruins at the Penguins at 7, all on ABC. And then wrapping up the week, the Kraken at the Blues at noon on Sunday on TNT, followed by the Avalanche at the Golden Knights at 2:30 as well. Super quick Olympic stuff going on Saturday, swimming, the TYR Pro Swim Series at San Antonio. That will be at 2:30 on NBC. And then Figure Skating World Championships highlights will be on Sunday as well at 2 o'clock on NBC. That wraps it up for me this week. March Madness is officially coming to an end, and we're picking up in a lot of other areas as well as we get into what is the full spring season here. Check out the blog, The Girlfriend's Guide to Sports, for more games and times and a Masters preview. And I will catch y'all next week.